Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Sports bettors, Circa Sports now presents Palm Saturdays with Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm. Live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Here on 104.3 The Score and watch live on YouTube and Twitch. Featuring the latest and the greatest of the sports betting landscape from coast to coast along with some great guests. Here he is, Mike Palm.
Good morning, Chicago, where it's 46 degrees. I'm here in sunny Las Vegas, where it's also 46 degrees. Only difference is we'll get to 77, and in Chicago, we hope you guys get to 62. Certainly a little different weather than yesterday, where it was warm and the wind was blowing out at Wrigley, and the Cubs 12-4 drubbed the Mets for the Mets' ninth straight loss. We'll talk about the Cubs and the White Sox games today, as well as the rest of the Major League Baseball schedule. But obviously the headline is NHL and NBA playoffs start en masse today. What a wonderful day it is for both sports. We've finally gotten to this postseason. So happy to tell you that Eddie Olczyk is going to join us here in about 20 minutes to break down all of the first-round matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as well as get his take on the Blackhawks extending GM Kyle Davidson. I have to tell you, of the things that made me go, this week, it was Danny Wirtz coming out and extending Kyle Davidson. Now, we don't know all the terms of it. We know it's a multi-year extension. I would have thought next year was Davidson's make-or-break year with the Blackhawks, which they could have let his contract run through that, but they've given him an extension, and Danny Wirtz has said they're happy with the rebuilding plan and the progress they've made. It's still hard for me to believe that the last playoff series that the Hawks won was in the summer of 2015 when they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Final to bring home their third cup in 5 years. That's the last playoff series they've won. And let's be honest, under the tenure of Davidson, it's 4 eighth-place finishes in the Central Division, and they were either the worst or second worst or tied for second worst record in the NHL. Now, when you look at progress since they hit rock bottom in 23-24 with only 52 points and 46 points out of a wild card spot and a goal differential of minus 111, every year you have seen the progress from minus 111 to minus 70 to minus 62 on the goal differential, from 52 to 61 to 72 points, from 46 games out, points out to 35 out to having missed the Western Conference playoffs by 18 games. And yeah, it's not good. But it is progress. We'll get Eddie O's take on, is it enough progress, and did he agree with the extension and the direction that the Blackhawks are going? Before we get into my three plays on the NBA series, which we now know are all locked up after the two rather lopsided play-in games last night, I have to tell you, up to that point, we'd had four good games, or at least you could argue three great games, other than maybe Philly and Orlando. Terrific games in the play-in, which just further exposes the nonsense that we sit through in the regular season in the NBA. I'm a big advocate that the season is too long. When you have to tell the players they have to play 65 games to win awards, and that's the motivation, fans are paying a lot of money to go to arenas and the Stars aren't playing on any particular night. I say start it at Christmas, have a 50-game schedule. You'll still get enough separation through 50 games to determine who should rightfully be the playoff teams. But we're here. But how good were those play-in games? I had a chance to go. I wasn't able to make it, but was invited to sit behind the Clippers bench for their 9-10 game against the Warriors on Wednesday night. And unfortunately, because of the schedule here on Thursday, I wasn't able to go. Another heck of a game that looked like the Clippers were in control, and then a furious rally by the Warriors. A lot of friends of mine had nice tickets on Charlotte Hornets at 14-1 to make the playoffs. Those tickets died last night. Died early in the first half, let's be honest, as they trailed Orlando by 31 at halftime in that game. That's a game that many thought that the Hornets would win to advance into the bracket. Before we get into the three series that I made a wager on in the NBA, I have to bring up the WNBA draft because it's one of the most head-scratching events you'll ever see. I mean, the league continues to astound everyone, and I know the Sky are in the news because of dealing Angel Reese, and the good news is the CBA got ironed out and the season's going to start. But how about the Valkyries? Now, here's the franchise that started in the Bay Area, the Golden State Valkyries. Sold out every home game year one. Tremendous support from the local community there. And I have to tell you, they were pretty good. The coach came from the Aces. Natalie Nicasse, she did a tremendous job. They were a very well-coached team, a playoff team in their first year, and had the eighth pick in the draft. And I tell you, I was watching live. I mean, the fan base, extremely excited, watching the tweets. Flajay Johnson, of course, very famous guard from LSU, was their pick at eight. Big name, one of probably, you could argue, the second biggest name in the draft behind A.Z. Fudd. Maybe Lauren Betts because of UCLA's success this year. But they get Johnson, a dynamic player, obviously a very popular figure. And then we go through, and about an hour later, now the second round of the draft starts, and Seattle picks Marta Suarez from TCU. And immediately after a trade is announced, Golden State trades the eighth pick, their first-round pick, straight up to Seattle for their second-round pick, Marta Suarez. So, of course, many questions had to be asked about this. Now, Golden State did get the second-round pick of Seattle next year. The thought that popped into my head is two things. One, maybe Flajay didn't want to play at Golden State. Certainly, they would have done their due diligence to find that out if that was the case. But is that possible? Why would they make this move? Or is it a salary cap issue? On the WNBA, it's strictly by where you're drafted. That's what your salary is going to be your rookie year. So as you go down, obviously the salary gets lower from one to two to all the way to the end of the draft. Was it an issue with the salary cap? They liked Suarez, and they were going to get to pay her as the 16th pick, and they didn't want to pay Flajay what the 8th pick was going to get. So Ohima Nayanen is the GM of the Golden State. So she now has to answer the questions on draft night. Her answers are some of the most incredible I've ever seen out of a front office person. And as much as I criticize the media that covered the women's college basketball tournament and specifically the regionals and the Final Four, I thought all the questions that were asked on draft day and the day after were very well done by those that cover the WNBA. But they asked her, was it that Flajay wasn't going to be a good fit for your team? Did she want to play there? That was my first thought. She said, I don't want to comment about human beings and their basketball abilities and whether they would or would not show up for our team. Well, that isn't that exactly what you have to do and evaluate as a GM? The follow-up question was the right question. If that's not the answer, did it have to do with salary cap? She said, I don't talk about salary cap. I never discuss salary cap, so I wouldn't be able to comment on it. With credibility, we're supposed to believe that she doesn't consider the salary cap in her moves as a general manager? And then the next morning she comes out and says, yes, the trade was all done ahead of time. This is what we were going to trade that pick with Seattle. And I don't want to explain it because I don't want to give away my strategy to other teams who might be listening. This is truly incredible. And I hope this story gets followed up upon. The league is, whether you love the basketball or not, everything that surrounds it is highly entertaining. And I also think in these women's sports, you can make money. These markets are not as sophisticated and developed as the men's sports, and there's advantages to take. The women, the WNBA is an example. The scheduling, you've never seen anything like it. You'll have a team that's off for 7 days playing a team that's playing their third game in 4 days off travel. There's just some really good betting spots because of the schedule there. Also, as a side note there, on draft night, of course, Kathy Engelbert, the embattled commissioner, got very offended that a female reporter asked her how long she planned to remain as commissioner and said, you wouldn't ask a man that question. Why aren't you asking about all the tremendous women head coaches, the tremendous women front office people, the tremendous women that work in the league office? Well, how about all the men that do those things too? I know of male head coaches and male GMs and assistant GMs, and there are men that work in the league office. Just to Kathy's first point that you would never ask a man that question. In the last 5 years, Roger Goodell's been asked that question twice. Rob Manfred's been asked the question four times until he finally told everyone, this contract will be my last. And Gary Bettman's been asked the question six times in the last 5 years, for the record, Kathy. Adam Silver, I found one time. Speaking of Adam Silver, let's preview the NBA first-round matchups. Eight of them, four in each conference, and I've placed bets on four of them. You're listening to Palm Saturday here on 104.3. The Score will take you all the way up to the end of the hour and inside the clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine. Now, Michael Conforto will join them halfway through the first hour there, a Cubs outfielder. So that will be a great interview. That's at 9:30 on Inside the Clubhouse. NBA playoffs start in Mass today, and there are three series that I'm targeting, the three series that I have already wagered on. So let's start in the East, where I've wagered on one of the series, and it's the Hawks and the Knicks. I think this is a matchup problem for the Knicks because I think the Hawks have the length to guard Cat and to make it difficult on Jalen Brunson. If you look at Jalen Brunson's efficiency figures against the Hawks this year, I believe they're the third lowest against any opponent in the league that he's played multiple games against. And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, the Hawks have enough players that are point-of-attack players, four in their starting lineup, that I don't know where you can hide Jalen Brunson on the defensive end of the floor. I just think it's a matchup problem for the Knicks. And at that kind of a series price, where you can get back plus 220 on the Hawks, I think it's worth a shot. If they steal one of the first two games in New York, you can monetize your position, obviously, and in essence cash out and come out ahead. Or you can let it ride. But I thought, and of course I'm looking for dogs in these series. I'm always looking for underdogs because as opposed to the NHL, we're in the Eastern Conference, you know, the biggest favorite, 240, 170, 180, 150. I mean, in the NHL, the series prices are much closer. The outlier, of course, is Colorado and the Kings, which is a $5 price, which is more like the NBA prices. So we'll take the Hawks plus 220 in that series. Write that down, folks. And, of course, we will always update where we stood with our previous picks. And then let's go out west to the Timberwolves and Nuggets matchup. I think this is a pivotal matchup in the West because I do believe the winner of this series will advance at least to the Western Conference Finals. Likely they would get San Antonio, who matches up with Portland, and that's the series we're going to make a little bit of a nuanced play on. But I think Minnesota's been dismissed here, and you can get plus 260 on the Timberwolves. Where I am. I see in some other markets where I don't have access to plus 280. But plus 260 on the Timberwolves. So here's my factors for betting this. I think the price reflects the fact that Minnesota played to the level of their competition the entire year. They have some of the worst losses of any playoff team. I believe they have 10 losses in total to the what I call the bottom 10 teams. The 10 teams that had no shot of competing for a playoff spot. They lost 10 games. To the worst teams in the NBA, they lost game. And they also beat the best teams in the NBA, right? They beat Oklahoma City. They beat Denver. They've beaten San Antonio. They've beaten the good teams in the East. They play to the level of their competition. Mike Conley, the veteran guard who's with the T-Wolves this year, said he's never been around a group of guys who so much relishes the underdog role and hates the favorite role. And that's very much reflected. Now, if you remember last year, Minnesota was fueled by the disrespect they got in the Lakers series. And Anthony Edwards riles up that team with all this bulletin board information, and he collects all the people that dismiss them. I haven't heard anybody that picks the Timberwolves this year. Factor number two, this team has made the Western Conference Finals the last 2 years. I haven't heard anybody mentioning that at all. Two times in a row they've been to the Western Conference Final. And my third reason here is this team was really built to beat Denver. When this team was being constructed, Denver was the force in the West. Denver had won the NBA title. And Mike Malone, oh, how long ago that was. Say hello to Mike Malone in Chapel Hill now. This phenomenon that is OKC had yet to evolve. All right. So this team in Minnesota was constructed to be able to beat Denver to get to the NBA Finals. And that's who they match up with here in the first round. Conley also said, if we defend the way we're capable of, we'll win the series. But there won't be much of a margin of error because Denver is that good. They're better than we are offensively, but we are better than they are defensively. And if we defend, we can win this series. You might look at pricing either Denver or Minnesota to win the Western Conference, or there are markets available to make the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, that's a shorter price. But I do feel very strongly that the winner of the series will get to the Western Conference Finals. And finally, let's talk about the Spurs and the Portland Trailblazers series. Now, the Spurs are priced as if they're going to sweep this series. I think that Portland is being overlooked here. Now, I'm not saying that Portland can win this series, but I'm interested in Portland winning two games in this series, which you would have to bet Portland plus 2.5 games and lay minus 160. They're very long. They can make it hard on San Antonio on the boards. The whole crux of this series is, can Portland take care of the basketball? They're one of the worst teams in the NBA with the turnover rate. Their turnover rate itself is the worst in the NBA. Now, these teams played three times this year. In their two losses to San Antonio, Portland turned the ball over an average of 17 times, and San Antonio averaged 24 points off those turnovers. In Portland's victory over San Antonio, they only turned the ball over 9 times, and San Antonio only scored 11 points off those 9 turnovers. Obviously, we'll get into all the first-round matchups in the NHL when we talk to Eddie Olczyk after the break. Let's close out this first segment and mentioned the two Chicago baseball teams. 120 today, Mets, Cubs, a very familiar opponent, Freddy Peralta, who obviously was with the Brewers. He was the big signing for the Mets that was going to shore up their rotation. You must always remember about Freddy Peralta, though, that he's not going to give you long innings. He's one of the guys I've criticized as five and dive, right? He throws a lot of pitches per inning, so you don't get a lot of innings out of him going against Jameson Taillon. Taillon is a person that I always say this. You know what you're going to get out of Taillon. Almost every start, he will go somewhere between 5 and 6 innings. And almost every start, he will give up 2 or 3 runs. So you know what you're going to get. You have to post a number against Peralta. Obviously, different weather conditions today. The ball flew out of there yesterday. Cooler today. Cloud cover, it looks like, for almost the entire game. And windier as we get in. It looks like the winds pick up second, third, fourth inning this afternoon. Total yesterday was 10. It's 8 today. I thought about going over, but the weather has sort of backed me off of this. If you'd like to take a shot with the Cubs and go against the Mets, who are on the verge of losing 10 straight if they lose, you get a cheap price today with the Cubs at home at $1.20. So when we get into our best bets at the end, that may be on my dance card. And then the White Sox, off that horrific series against Tampa Bay, Sir Anthony Dominguez has been disappointing in his role that they've tried to make him a closer here. They should have won that series finale. But they went to Sacramento, and beat the A's. And now you get Luis Severino. Luis Severino on the mound against the Sox today. That game goes at 3:05. He hates pitching in Sacramento. He's nothing but complain about pitching in Sacramento. He doesn't like the mound, doesn't like the wind. You know, it's a minor league ballpark. The clubhouse is in the outfield stands. It's not connected to the dugouts. So he's always grousing about pitching in Sacramento. His first start was earlier in the week. He did not have a great performance. Maybe we're looking here at a White Sox play or possibly over 9 here for a total in the game. All right, very excited. Been waiting all week here. And let me make this note, too. If you'd like to ask the guest a question or you have any feedback for me, you may email me at mike.palm@thed.com, THED.com. Have another great question from a guest that was emailed in that we'll ask Eddie O coming up after the break, or any comments on the show. I'll try to tweet out, or the Score will tweet out who the guest is going to be as early in the week as possible. So if you'd like to form a question and have it asked on air, you can certainly send it to me, and I try to pick one question each week. All right, coming up after the break, from Niles all the way to the Score airwaves, it's the great Eddie Olczyk. It's Palm Saturdays, 104.3 The Score.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have extended Kyle's contract. We are committing to Kyle to continue the plan that he has put in place. We feel confident in that. We believe that he has the right insight, the right team around him, and the belief that he can continue to build a championship team, starting with this amazing prospect pool and the core players that we have right now. But he does everything he can every day to improve this team. He's got the trust of the Blackhawks organization that he works with. He's got the trust of the coaching staff. And of course, maybe most importantly, the players. The players believe in his vision. They're committed to Kyle Davidson, as we are.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees, on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back into Palm Saturdays. You just heard the voice of Danny Wirtz extending the contract of Blackhawks GM Kyle Davidson. And who better to ask about that than our good friend Eddie Olchek. Eddie joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, betting the way it should be. Good morning, Eddie. Thanks for getting up early with us.
I'm not as early as you, Mike, but great time of year. The playoffs are upon us. I'll be heading out to Denver, Colorado for game one on TNT tomorrow. The Avalanche, who are the overwhelming favorites, as you know, to win the Stanley Cup, will take on the LA Kings, and should be a lot of fun. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to hearing your voice all throughout the next few months through the playoffs. Were you at all surprised by the decision to extend Davidson? Obviously, when he was made GM back in 21, very young and charged with rebuilding this franchise, hadn't won a playoff series since the 2015 Cup Final over Tampa Bay. Has there been enough progress? Now, they finished last in the Central in each year under his leadership, but it's gotten progressively better to the point where they had 72 points and 18 points out of a playoff spot and a negative 62 goal differential, but all the best during that tenure with improvement the last 3 years. Have you seen enough out of Davidson that he's in the right track here in rebuilding this franchise that has meant so much to you?
Yes, to answer your question right off the bat. But full disclosure, Mike, back in 21, which is kind of hard to believe it's that long ago, I was a part of the process for Danny Wirtz and the Blackhawk organization as far as the general manager search. So just to refresh everybody's memory on that and the decision to bring Kyle to that chair. Obviously, he's been a part of the organization for a long, long time, and he's a terrific guy. He knows the game extremely well, and yeah, it's been a battle here, right? I mean, it's been a tough go here the last little while, but when you do look at the subtle improvements in some of the young players that look like they're going to be able to take that next step and be the foundational pieces of this franchise, lots of positives, but look, there's still some major steps that need to be taken. And I thought Jeff Blashill did a very good job in his first year and still missing the playoffs. But I think that there has been improvement, and that's all that you can see currently, and then we'll see what happens moving forward, whether it's free agency or it's trades or, you know, maybe using some of these draft picks or some of these young players that they have in the farm system to be able to go out and get some help for some of their young players. And, you know, losing a lot of the guys they did at the trade deadline, no doubt, was a loss because, Mike, of, you know, the experience a lot of those guys had, especially when you trade out your captain, Nick Foligno, you know, a guy like Connor Murphy on the back end, it could help such a young decor. But, you know, some of these young players got to take the next step. So I wasn't surprised, but at the end of the day, it is about getting Stanley Cups and, you know, obviously have to make the playoffs first, but we'll see how it all plays out, and everybody will be evaluated down the road. And so I'm not surprised, and I'm happy for Kyle because I think he deserves a continuation with the plan. And then we'll eventually see at some point, like everything else in the National Hockey League, it will be evaluated at a later date.
You're in Colorado tomorrow. That puck drops at 2 o'clock Central Time. Let's go to the opposite side of that series and talk about what may be the most anticipated of the first-round matchups, the Wild and the Stars. It looks like these two teams had been on a collision course since November, that they were going to meet up in the 2-3 Central matchup. I was listening to Bill Guerin, who joined the Wild telecast during the Ducks game this week, and he said, look, this is the first time we've been healthy in 8 years going into the playoffs. They are healthy. Now, Quinn Hughes has had whatever food poisoning. He hasn't practiced for 2 days with an illness. But other than that, they're very healthy. Whereas Dallas, Roope Hintz is going to be out for this first-round series, and Haskinen is day-to-day. This matchup, we have it at Circa. Dallas minus $1.20 right now. Minnesota at even money on the comeback here. It should be a long, tough series. Who do you like coming out of this one?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it has the chance to go 9 games. That's how it's going to feel, because it is going to be a physical series. It is going to be, I believe, a long series, Mike. And I think it is one of those coin flip type of series. And obviously the odds would bear that out. Now, if Dallas, and it sounds like Dallas is going to, you know, to get Hintz back, it looked like it, I did the last game of the regular season on TNT, Buffalo and Dallas in Buffalo the other night, and it sounded like Haskinen was going to be available. I haven't seen anything lately here, but that's obviously a huge, you know, a huge lift on the back end for Dallas. I just think that when push comes to shove, I look at the experience of the Dallas Stars of having so much success here recently, and if they can get Roope Hintz, I think that ends up being the tie turner. But if they can't, the door is open for the Minnesota Wild, who now has more depth and has, you know, some role players on that team, not only on the back end but up front, that have the ability to make the difference. So, I mean, I like Dallas just by a smidge, but it would not surprise me to see this thing go 7 games. And then once you get to a 7th game, anything is possible.
Were you at all surprised that John Hines has tabbed Jesper Wallstedt as their Game 1 starter in goal? Wallstedt, of all the goalies competing in the playoffs, does have the highest save percentage against the other playoff teams, and he was sort of the hotter hand as they headed into the playoffs, but he makes the choice of Wallstedt over Gustafsson. Did you agree with that? Were you surprised by it at all?
No, I wasn't, because they've pretty much been a two-goaltender team all season long, Mike. So get to the playoffs. Obviously, somebody's got to start, but are we going to see Gustafsson at some point in this series? I would say hell yes, and then who knows from there. So I want to say it's an easy decision, but a great decision, because you pretty much rotated two goaltenders all season long. And, you know, if one guy goes a little cold, then you got somebody that you know you have confidence in can go to.
I'm going to transfer to a series that also I have a goaltender question about, and that's Ottawa taking on Carolina. You know, we've seen a lot of regular season success for Rob Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricane, which has not translated into playoff success. They're, again, the number one seed in the East. But this Ottawa team gets a lot of respect in the betting market. Eddie, they're the third choice, the third lowest choice in the East behind Tampa and Carolina to come out of the East, even though they're wild card number two. So essentially the eighth seed in the old format. They brought Linus Ullmark in to take them to a Stanley Cup final. He's had some issues in the locker room and off the ice this year. But my question is on the other side. Brandon Bussey was the goalie who's the fastest goalie ever to 25 wins. He was 25-4 in his first 29 starts this year. He ends the year 31-6-2 with a 2.47 goals against. Yet Rob Brind'Amour is going to start Freddie Anderson today against Ottawa. Two-part question here. Were you surprised by that decision to go to Anderson? And is it going to be a different story this year for Carolina, or will they once again fail to make a cup final?
Well, second question first. The door is open for Carolina. Like, there are no more excuses. Like, there's no Florida in the playoffs. There's no Toronto in the playoffs. There's no Devils. There's no Rangers. They have proven to be an outstanding regular season team, and now can they take their game to another level? They play at a different level than most teams play during the regular season. But then come playoff time is that other teams obviously have to raise their level. The rink gets a little bit smaller. The games change a little bit, and you got to find ways to be able to go to another level, regardless if you're a star or if you're a role player. That's been the biggest thing for Carolina. They just hasn't, to your point, they just haven't been able to take that next step. Like, the time is now when you look at the path for them. Now, I felt back in January or February is that if Ottawa could get healthy, that they showed signs of being a team that could defend and defend very well, and that's what they're doing. And they have been getting some good goaltending. And Linus Ullmark has done the job and found a comfort zone here recently. But as far as the goaltender situation in Carolina, like that to me is one of the question marks is, can a guy like Freddie Anderson or Brandon Bussey, whoever it is, be able to get on a heater, get on a roll, and give their team all the confidence in the world to, you know, be a difference maker, make the routine save 110% of the time, and then worry about everything after that. So was I surprised? Not really. But at the end of the day, they got to get consistent goaltending, and they got to be able to find another level. But this series, I give Ottawa every single opportunity. And as you said, the bettors and the numbers say that a lot of people feel that if Ottawa can get through this round one series, is that there is a pathway for them to get to the Eastern Conference Final, and then who knows from there. So it should be a heck of a series, and looking forward to watching that game. And that game will kick everything off here this afternoon, 2 o'clock local Chicago time.
The Golden Knights ended up winning the Pacific Division. They go 7-0-1 under John Tortorella with the late season change by Kelly McCrimmon. It's obvious now Carter Hart's the guy. He played 2 years with Torts in Philadelphia. The Knights draw Utah. I tend to think more so than most folks out here that Utah is going to make this a longer series, and they're really going to make the Knights work. There's nothing that Utah does that's really bad. I think it's a young team that works hard, that's fast, and if the Knights aren't on top of their game here and if their power play's not clicking, I think Utah has a decent shot at an upset at plus 155. Your thoughts on Knights Mammoth?
Yeah, I would not argue that at all. I think this is going to be a long series. I've heard people talking about, you know, the VGK in 4 or 5 games. I would be absolutely shocked if it's a short series in Vegas wraps up Utah. Now, the one thing with Utah, and I think maybe under the radar a little bit, is they do have a lot more experience on their team than people realize, that guys that have won Stanley Cups. I mean, look at the left side of their defense. Sergachev's won a couple of times in Tampa. You got Ian Cole that has won in Pittsburgh. You got Nate Schmidt, who's been a part of Florida and was a part of the run with Vegas a bunch of years ago. So they've got some guys, Kevin Stenlin up front. So they do have some experience, and they have a guy on goal in Karel Vomelka who I think does have the ability to win a game and win a series. I really do believe that. Now, I give Vegas the upper hand in the series because of the way that they're playing, and most importantly, their best player here down the stretch, as you know, Mike, has been Carter Hart. He's finally healthy. That's why they went out and traded for him. And if they can get that type of goaltending, I expect Vegas to be able to move on. But I agree with you 100%. If Utah would win, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think that this series has got a chance to for sure go six games, and wouldn't surprise me to see it go seven.
Ed, we take a question from a listener each week, and this is the one I've chosen this week. As we enter the Stanley Cup playoffs, the most demanding grind in sports, it's clear that winning four rounds just isn't about talent. It's as much mental as it is physical. Every year we see great regular season players, but when the lights are the brightest, only a rare few put a team on their back and carry them through the chaos to lift the cup. So here's the question. If that mental edge, the ability to thrive under pressure, to lead and to endure, is often what separates champions from everyone else, why does the draft and scouting process still lean so heavily toward measurable physical traits and analytics? Why do teams spend millions evaluating skating, size and skill, but seem to struggle or even overlook the psychological makeup that ultimately defines who can win at the highest level?
Well, I don't know if there is any test to be able to put somebody's feet to the fire when they're talking to young 17, 18, 19-year-olds to be able to try to figure out that, you know, if the guy's got a puck on a stick or a goaltender seeing a breakaway in overtime of Game 5 of a Stanley Cup Final, you know, how a player is going to particularly react. You have to, obviously, and look, I was a part of a front office in Pittsburgh when I was coaching there back some 20 some years ago. I was, like, as I mentioned earlier, part of the Blackhawk GM search back in 2021. So, you know, I have an idea of, you know, kind of the behind the scenes and what have you. But I think a roundabout with that question, it's a terrific question. And I'm sure if we had another hour, we can go in a lot of different areas, Mike. But I believe, and I've learned, is that as an organization or a general manager who ultimately makes a decision, is regardless of where your players are picked or chosen, you have to be able to figure out who and what those players are before the rest of the National Hockey League or whatever sport it is, figure out who they are. And if you could do that, I think more times than not is that you're going to be better. Look, you're not going to hit a home run every time. You like to hit doubles and triples all the time. That would be great. But sometimes when you do select a player and you find out that maybe he's weaker mentally or he's just not going to be a top line player, well, then that's when you have to be able to move that asset. If you do take him in the first round, move him for something else so that you just don't keep throwing bad money after bad money. So it's a tremendous topic. It's a great question, but I think until a player is actually in that situation at the highest level, because playing in college or playing in juniors or playing in a minor leagues is a way different animal than what we're going to see here this afternoon when the NHL playoffs kick off.
Ed, we'll take you out of here on this. Who lifts the cup this year?
Oh, I would be surprised if it's not Colorado, because I just think that they're full. They're from top to bottom. And I think that the pressure is certainly on there, because if they don't make a run, I think that you could see some massive changes in Colorado. So I would say it is obviously as chalky as you can get. But if it is in Colorado, then I think we've seen an upset.
Ed, we really appreciate the time this morning. Catch Eddie. That's 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on TNT, Kings at Avalanche. All right, when we come back on Palm Saturdays, we'll give you all our best bet from the days, including National Hockey League and Major League Baseball. It's 104.3.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be with no bet fees on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back in. We're taking you all the way to the bottom of the hour, or to the top of the hour, as we should say, when we'll hear from our good friend David Haugh and Bruce Levine inside the clubhouse. Remember, at 9:30, Michael Conforto joins the show. All right, let's go through our best bets for today. First, we'll recap last week. Remember our theory, or my theory, of the pitcher who had two great starts failing in their third start. So when it was all said and done, there were 11 pitchers that qualified in Major League Baseball, where in their first two starts, they pitched at least five innings in each game, and they had an ERA under two and a WHIP under one. Of those 11, only two had quality starts in their third out. And that was Seth Lugo, who lost 2-0 to the White Sox, even though he only gave up two runs in seven innings, and Parker Messick, who won with the Guardians. Meanwhile, Parker Messick took a no-hitter into the ninth inning here during the week in his fourth start. What an incredible story he is so far this year. If you bet it from the perspective of you took the opponent in those 11 games, you end up going 8-3. So we missed the first three because that's when we discovered the theory, but we did go 5-3 with our other plays that we talked about last week. Major League Baseball today, I have three plays. Again, both involving the Cubs and the White Sox. Look, this price is getting even cheaper here. I talked about $1.20 at Circus Sports. Now the Cubs minus $1.07 today going against the Mets. Look, the Mets have lost nine straight. Things aren't going well. They're not hitting the ball. They got three in the second yesterday off Cabrera. By the way, our best bet, I know it wasn't on this program, but if you followed along on VSiN yesterday, was Cabrera over 16 and a half outs. We got there. He got 18. Struggled to get through the second. The Mets put up three in the second, and then he really settled in. I think warm weather was a factor there, but anytime you can get Cabrera over 17 and a half or less outs, I would do it. Council's letting him throw 100 pitches. It'd be nice to see Cabrera and Imanaga become dueling aces for this team, and that's what they're going to need to step up right now with the injury. So let's lay the $1.07 with the Cubs today against the Mets, and then we're going to go over this game. Severino hating to pitch in that stadium in Sacramento with the White Sox. They put up a nice number yesterday. This is an even money bet, over 9.5 in that game, even money. One other game I wanted to bet, and we bet the great pitching matchup in Seattle last night. With DeGrom and Logan Gilbert. DeGrom shaky early, only got through four innings, I think 88 pitches, but 5-0 Texas win, so that game stayed under. Let's play the first five under in the Phillies and Braves today. A great matchup of left-handers with Christopher Sanchez going for the Phillies and Chris Sale, who's really revitalized his career post-White Sox, going for the Braves. This total is 7. I prefer to keep the bullpens out of it. We'll play the first five under 4 in this spot. All right, so that's our three plays in Major League Baseball. I'm going to recap what we did with the NBA. We're going to take, these are all series, we're going to take the Atlanta Hawks plus 220 over the Knicks, Minnesota Timberwolves plus 260 over Denver, and we're going to take Portland plus 2.5 games minus 170. So, in other words, Portland must win two games in that series against San Antonio. If they can get it to 6, you would win that bet. Now let's talk Stanley Cup. I have one play today. There are three games today, and it's in the opener, which will go off at 2 o'clock from Raleigh. I don't like the decision by Brendan Moore to go to Freddie Anderson. Like I soured on Freddie Anderson at the end of his tenure with the Ducks. I thought he started to go downhill. I certainly wasn't a big fan of what he did in Toronto. Nor have I been a fan of his in Carolina. And to Eddie Olczyk's point, the goaltending will be a big factor here, and it has been in the playoffs. Carolina find a guy that can carry them. They haven't had one since Cam Ward 20 years ago. Now, I get the argument that although Bussey was 31-6-1 and won 25 of his first 29 starts, and his stats for the year are much better than Anderson, since the break he had the worst goals against in the National Hockey League. I still would have started Bussey today. I can't get there to take Ottawa for the series. plus 150. But I'll take them today, plus 135 in game one, where I know Anderson is starting. All right, here's some series bets that I've made. There was a book here in Las Vegas that opened Pittsburgh $1.70 against Philadelphia. I just thought that was a bad number. I took Philly plus 155. Currently at Circa, Pittsburgh is minus 153, Philly plus 133. I think that's a more reasonable price on that series. It's not a series I'm in love with. I just thought the opener was a bad number. Vladar's going to go for Philadelphia. I haven't seen who's going to go for Pittsburgh yet in goal today. Obviously, they've been playing Askarov a lot. But do you want to go with him or do you want to go with the guy in the Stanley Cup runs in Skinner? Now, Skinner, although he took Edmonton to the Stanley Cup Finals the last 2 years, in games 1 through 4 of the series the last 2 years has not been good. So I don't know which way they're going today. Last I checked, we didn't know. But that's a series bet. I know the price isn't available, but if you can find a price of $1.44, $1.45 or higher, I would look there. Colorado, the game Eddie's involved with tomorrow, minus 520 is such a ludicrous price. I can't see the Kings winning a game here. I bet Colorado minus 2.5. So you're still going to have to lay $1.20. But that means Colorado can sweep or they can win in five. I can't see Anton Forsberg stealing games here, and that's who's going to be in net for the Kings. I did not rebet the Dallas-Minnesota series. I made a bet during the course of the year when Dallas came within 2 points of Colorado that Dallas would lose in the first round. I anticipated Colorado would get the one seed and they would play Minnesota. But you still got value in that bet because there was a possibility Dallas would be the one seed and then they'd get the wild card. Well, it didn't happen. We got the series we thought we were getting. I like Minnesota here. From that bet, I have plus $1.45. If I didn't have the bet, I would still be interested in Minnesota plus $1.05 in this series is the best price that I saw in Illinois right now. I did bet Utah plus $1.52 against the Knights. I think they extend this series, and I think at any point Utah can get a series lead, you can monetize this ticket as well. Anaheim-Edmonton, I see this much the way I see Colorado and the Kings, although I think Anaheim is unlikely they will get swept. I don't think it's likely that they can force this to a Game 7. Edmonton is minus 245 here. It's expected that at some point during the series they'll get Draisaitl back. I've liked the way that Edmonton has sort of conformed their game to a playoff style, being more defensive-minded in the last 2 months of the year. And I think Connor Ingram, although he's sort of an OCD guy, has stepped up and been pretty decent in goal for them, obviously when Jari was not. So I played this Edmonton minus a game and a half. Lay $1.50 here. I looked at some totals today, but ultimately passed. I thought maybe we could go under 5.5 in Dallas. That would be a bet that I would consider a lean right now, but I haven't made it yet at this point. Thanks for riding along with us. It's a really special day in sports with the kickoff of the playoffs in both the NBA and the NHL, and I hope everyone enjoys it. And if you follow along, good luck to us all. Thank you so much to Eddie Olczyk for spending 25 minutes with us. Terrific insight from him. And stay tuned. Up next on The Score, Inside the Clubhouse, David Haw and Bruce Levine, followed by Cubs baseball. It's Palm Saturdays, 104.3 The Score.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.